Earth and Sky.
Once the wiring of your brain is set up to interpret data, that is empowerment. And so what I really want is to empower people to make decisions on their own and to become an informed electorate in any political process they enter.
You're listening to astrophysicist, educator, and television host Neil deGrasse Tyson, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Tyson is the Earth Sky Science Communicator of the Year for 2009. We want to talk today about science communication, and that's something that you are superb at. Why is it important to you to spend your time communicating science to people?
That's an excellent question, and it actually happens in reverse of what you might have suspected. It was not a priority of mine to communicate science to the public. What I found is that enough members of the public wanted to know what was going on in the universe that I decided to try to get a little better at it so that I could satisfy this cosmic curiosity. I think of myself as a servant of the public's appetite for the universe. So I think it's important because inquiring minds want to know.
And so you're talking about the universe, and then you're talking about issues of more general scientific importance. Is there an issue outside of astronomy that you think is really, really important?
By and large, were I to have a goal in this, it would be simply to foster science literacy, learning how to think rather than what to think. And once the wiring of your brain is set up to interpret data, that is empowerment. And so what I really want is to empower people to make decisions on their own and to become an informed electorate. So no, there's not an issue that I'm going to take up sides on. We live in a democracy. What matters in a democracy is not that everyone believes the same thing or thinks the same way. What matters is that everyone makes an informed judgment about how they vote and how they decide.
And so, Neil, how do people get to that? How do they get to that wiring in their brain that tells them the difference between real science and false science?
Yeah, it's hard. And, you spend your whole first year of a child's life teaching them to walk and talk, and the rest of their lives telling them to shut up and sit down. Now, there's a problem there because kids, as you surely know, are born scientists. They're born probing the natural world that surrounds them. They'll lift up a rock. They'll pick up the bug. They'll pull petals off of a flower. They'll ask you why the grass is green and the sky is blue, and they'll experiment with breakable things in your house. I think the best thing a parent can do when raising a child is just simply to get out of their way. And yeah, it might mean they might break a dish one day because they're experimenting with how dishes roll down the corridor. But there's a lesson there. And yeah, you'll break a dish. So you buy a new dish. And you say, well, that can be costly. Well, as the president of Harvard once said, Derek Bach, he said, if you think education is costly, you could look at the cost of ignorance. It's even costlier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you're really talking about starting with kids when they're very, very young. And just a different kind of education and a different kind of training.
Giving them the space to explore, that's correct. And I think that exploration can become a fundamental part of what a growing child's mind requires to become an empowered thinking member of society.
So what else for you right now? Like what else is interesting to you and important to you in the world of science now?
Well, I've invested a lot of sweat equity in NASA. And for me, one of the great disturbing stories of 2009 was the end of the year story that Russia was going to mount a mission to deflect asteroid Apophis so that it won't hit Earth. In the year 2029, this asteroid will come close enough to Earth to dip below our orbiting communication satellites. It'll be the largest, closest thing ever observed. It turns out, depending on its trajectory on that pass, if it happens to thread what we call a gravitational keyhole, that Earth's gravity will bend its orbit in such a way that the next time around it will hit Earth 7 years later. So that asteroid got named Apophis, sensibly so, because that's the Egyptian god of death and darkness. they didn't name that one Bambi, right?
Right.
We have control over what we name these things. That's a bad asteroid. We'll name it something bad.
Right.
So it turns out the latest evidence shows there's only a several in a million chance that it will hit Earth in 2036, which is the next time around. You could say, well, that's not much, you know. But, you know, people bet on the lottery with worse odds than that they would win. So you ought to be able to calculate what it's worth to you to try to deflect this thing. And in Russia, they did this. So they figured, why not do it? Even if it's a low likelihood of hitting us, you want to learn how to deflect asteroids anyway so that you don't end up with the same fate as the dinosaurs. That's all great. I don't have a problem with that. What got under my skin was this casual invitation, oh, America, you want to come along? And I'm thinking, what? What's wrong with this picture? Isn't it we who are historically the ones who lead missions into space and invite other countries along? So you ask, what do I think about? I think about the loss of leadership that has been going on for decades and is beginning to reveal itself even in news stories such as that.
What do you want to leave our audience with today?
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, the Earth Sky people are surely loyal listeners. I think it's the duty of everyone who has been sort of kissed by the universe to spread that love among friends and others. We all know people. It's not good enough in this world to only be a consumer of science. I want you to also share that enthusiasm and that interest. Again, we're an elective democracy. If leadership is not important to people, then okay, but you're going to watch the economy tank because we're going to be dancing to the tune played by other nations whose innovations created economic industries that flowed out of their innovations. That's just the country you're voting for by simply proceeding with the status quo. So I would leave people, I would challenge people to get out there. Not everyone has, you know, bully pulpits or TV shows or radio shows, but everybody's got friends and everybody hangs out with them on a Friday night or a Saturday lunch. Spread the love. And you tell two people, they'll tell two people, share your favorite book with them and tell them what TV show to watch. And that'll be a start. But that can become an entire movement.
Neil, that's fantastic. And thank you so much for joining us.
You know, this is the first time you've had me on. Why did it take you this long?
That's not true. We've had you on before. We have
a million years ago.
Well, let's make it a regular thing.
I'm here for you, Dan.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Neil. Thank you.
All right.
You've been listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's the Frederick P. Rose Director of the Hayden Planetarium in New York, the host of Nova Science Now, and Earth Sky's Science Communicator of the Year for 2009. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.